Hello, this is David Miller, executive editor of Purple Pawn. With me is Dominic Krapczyszets. Did I pronounce that correctly?
Perfect.
Okay. Co-founder and co-owner of North Star Games.
Founder. Co-president.
Cool.
We have a bunch of investors. One of the investors.
Okay. And the company is about to launch a Kickstarter project for a new strategy game called Evolution. And so I thought we would talk about where the company's been and where it's going with this new product. So first, Dominic, could you just give us a little background on how North Star Games came to be? What was the origin? How did you get into the game business?
Yeah, so let's see. I've been a gamer my whole life. The earliest that I considered starting a game company is in high school. Actually, I wouldn't say considered. I decided that's what I was going to do. I wrote an economics paper, my final paper, which was a business plan. Instead of being on economics, it was a business plan for the game company that I wanted to start. And that was actually the only thing that I could see myself doing with my life. But I was really too young and inexperienced to be able to pull anything off like that. So I worked on games and worked on some role-playing games. I mean, all different types of games.
Designing games,
designing role-playing systems. But that's as far as it went. And I kind of inherited a fishing operation. I captained an Alaskan fishing boat, commercial salmon fishing boat. And that really just made more economic sense. I was getting paid, you know, some good money to do that. But I increasingly wanted to start this board game company, especially given some of the near-death episodes that took place, every year there were several, but some that really, really stand out in my mind. And so at some point when the industry was kind of in a lull, I decided now's the time. I'm going to go to business school, try to figure out how to start a company, find a business partner, and do it.
Well, so did you really have an idea about the board game business before, or it was just your desire as a gamer to spend your time doing that?
Well, I mean, I had no idea about the board game industry, you know, when I was in high school.
Mm-hmm.
But over that time, I think I always inquired a little bit here and there, so I was slowly amassing information over the next 15, 20 years, whatever it was. Before I started the company.
So you went to business school and then...
And then it was full speed ahead. I mean, even before that, because my application was about this company that I was going to start. So then it was full speed ahead, meeting with people, meeting with store owners, and trying to understand how everything works so I could put together a business plan.
And how did it come to be North Star Games?
The name itself or...
Well, what is North Star Games? North Star Games has had up to now a certain focus,
flagship,
right?
All right. So I was a pro Magic player for a while. So I had always envisioned kind of really hobby games. I think the more research I did, the more I realized like people would tell me, well, a big hit will sell 5 or 10,000 copies. I think the market's already bigger now. Because I was doing this research in 97.
Mm-hmm.
This was before the whole Euro game kind of taking over. And I spent so much time on some of these game designs that I just couldn't. I started figuring out my hourly wage for that, and I was like, I'm going to be making 36 cents an hour. This doesn't make any sense. I can't do this. So I started more and more thinking about, well, it has to be a game that can go out into the mass market. You know, so I did research. Pictionary, that sold, you know, 20 million copies or whatever it is, you know, and so I started looking at all these things. I'm like, well, there you can earn money. So my original idea was to kind of be a bridge from the games that people know here in the U.S. to the games that I love, which were increasingly coming out of the Euro, you know, the German market. So that was the original idea. And as soon as I took in investor money, the whole kind of me doing this hobby, this thing that I'm passionate about as a hobby and turning it into a lifestyle company kind of morphed into, well, people are giving me large amounts of their inheritance, I mean, not their inheritance, their retirement money, and I'd better find a way to give it back to them. So it kind of changed a little bit from, you know, my hobby passion to, we need to be as close to my hobby passion as I can, but it's got to be a viable company.
That was still something you were happy about.
Oh, I love party games. I love party games, yeah.
Okay.
So I loved all the stuff that I was doing. But I purposefully did not do some of the hobby games because I was just worried about losing our investors' money.
So, and you thought to approach the party games with, as you said, a bridge to the hobby or strategy games?
Yeah, so my initial idea was we'll have this big, huge blockbuster that sells millions, and then we'll have these devoted fans, and I'll slowly take them one step at a time towards all these other great games that are out there. And I think I found that I went the other direction. Like the bridge was just too great. I didn't fathom how great of a bridge it was to these casual American gamers to actually play these hobby games.
Mm-hmm.
And every time I tried, it would just fail miserably. So I think the company instead kind of went lighter and easier, more accessible instead of the other direction.
Okay. So you end up bringing party games to the strategy hobby gamers.
Yeah, exactly. Almost exactly. Yeah, well, the reason that happened is, you know, I spent so much time on the Board Game Geek. I mean, I played all these Euro games, and that's what I was doing with all my time. So it makes sense to me that I'm going to first market to all these people who I've tested it with and who I hang out with, and that's kind of where it started.
But still something that you seem very proud of and happy that it's worked out that way.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And North Star Games has been successful and good business and career for you.
Yeah, I love it. Very successful. Yeah, and I love party games. I don't want to make it sound like I don't like... I mean, Wits and Wagers, Clubs, and Say Anything are among three games that I love and I'm passionate about.
The Wits and Wagers, I could tell you, as someone who likes to play a lot of hobby and strategy games, so I play a lot of the mass market, but trivia games, you know, I get stuck on them, and I like the idea that with Wits and Wagers, you don't really need to know the trivia, so I don't get stuck on it, you know, it's one that I can play. So, you started out when you were younger, back in high school, looking at playing strategy, hobby games, hoping that you would start a company. When you went to business school and you did more research, you started to see what the market was in different categories of games, and you ended up focusing the company with a little deeper strategy to the game, but still a more of a mass market party type game. And I know your products are sold in a lot of the big chain stores and that sort of thing. But recently, in sort of these days with Kickstarter coming around, and there's a lot of startup companies that have just gone straight into, you know, the hobby games, small companies, individuals who just come straight out, put up their game. Now, there have been many that have bombed, but some that companies have come out of nowhere and ended up raising millions of dollars for games. And
for board games?
there have been some of the miniatures that individually have raised, but then there's others that have raised certainly close to that over a series of hobby games.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
So how does that make you feel about how, where your company has come and then seeing these others attack the hobby market?
I've done everything that I've done I've loved, I mean, I really am passionate about the products we've done, and I love party games. I've always played a lot of party games, too. So I just kind of feel like I haven't been able to express all of the different parts of things that I love. I'm kind of focused on one area. So I don't regret that. You know, our original business plan said this German style of game is just better than the American style that we have here. And I don't mean Ameritrash, I mean American style like Monopoly and Risk and the games that people are used to, you know, from on the Target shelves. So I kind of knew in my heart, this is just going to keep growing. I mean, the products, people have just learned about how to make better games. And I think largely because of the Spiel des Jahres, rewarding tremendous amounts of money to the game designer, not the publisher. And so it's just brought a lot of talent into the industry to try to figure out how to solve, you know, common problems like kingmaker problems and player elimination and games that could go from, you know, 1 hour to 8 hours, you know, variable times that are that big. So all these things have kind of been, over time, solved by, you know, the community, the board game design community. So I kind of always assumed that these hobby games were going to grow, just in the thick of actually making these decisions, it just wasn't growing as fast as I expected. But, you know, now I look back 10 years and the growth is considerable, you know, so that in fact, the hobby section in Target, Walmart, Barnes & Noble, those are the only board game categories that have been growing. The party game section has been shrinking in recent years. So it's kind of, now just looking at it business-wise, you know, that increases our willingness to say, well, now's the time's right. Let's jump over. Start up a strategy division to this company.
So you finally get that opportunity to take it back to where you wanted back in high school. Not that you didn't enjoy what you've been doing in the meantime, but...
So in high school, I loved party games, but yeah, I think I envisioned... I mean, at that point, I think I was playing a lot of role-playing games.
Mm-hmm.
But I also was designing board games. Actually, in eighth grade, I designed a board game that got banned from our school.
What was that about?
It was a war game. It was called Kabloogie. A friend of mine named it. And it was a... I mean, it's so long ago. I thought it was great at the time. But we had about maybe 30 to 40 kids were routinely playing during class. You'd play one turn, and then you'd hand it off to your friend, and he'd play his turn, and you'd play during classes, of course. So they finally banned it.
It was banned because of its popularity in school. Kabloogie?
Kabloogie, yes.
Have that entry for that on Board Game Geek?
I don't think there is.
No. Well, we'll see that. So in the... So then tell me about what you're doing now, this sort of new direction with North Star Games.
So we're starting a strategy division that's going to put out hobby games, you know, games for hobby gamers, as opposed to what we've done in the past, which are games designed for casual gamers that hopefully are designed, that are, you know, have such a good design that hobby gamers either also appreciate it or sometimes are willing to play it over Trivial Pursuit type of things. So our focus is going to be hobby, and right now, Evolution, which is our first release, I would say is a one-hour game of complexity similar to maybe Seven Wonders or Dominion, somewhere in that category, Manhattan Project. And so that's kind of our sweet spot right now, is a medium weight euro. Some people might call it medium light, depending on kind of what type of games you normally play. I would say guiding principle is, so right now there's kind of two Spiel des Jahres awards, which is new for me. The light one is very, very light, and in fact our normal games are probably better suited for the light Spiel des Jahres. But the gamer one, the Kennan Spiel or whatever it's called, I can't remember the name. That's kind of the sweet spot that we're looking for. So Legends of Andor won, Seven Wonders won. I think there's only maybe been two awards given out for that category.
I don't remember
that. Oh, okay. Anyways, that is the sweet spot that we're shooting for with this strategy line, which is something that's that you could bring your family into, you know.
Right.
But it's a plays in about an hour.
Andrew,
I have no idea.
Oh, I figured you guys were all here playing games. Okay.
So, and that's just the start, or testing the waters? Have the next game in mind?
Oh, well, we have 1,000 games in mind. So the issue is not games, the issue is devoting time and energy to really executing right. I'd say right now, expansions for the Evolution brand is first and foremost on our mind.
Hmm.
Evolution is, I love it. I wouldn't stake the whole start of our strategy line unless I found a game that I thought was amazing. And I think it is. I think it's fantastic. So I expect it to do well, and I expect it to put out expansions. So that's kind of going to be the next focus, is just making sure that we're working on these expansions. I do have another game that I'm very excited about, but it's a subset of a heavier strategy game that I've been working on for a bunch of years, and I basically just took out one element from it. It's kind of a lighter real-time negotiation game, kind of flipped it right from there. And I haven't actually tested it, but I'm very excited about its possibilities. So that's probably the next thing that I would do, is actually put together that prototype and work on it, see if we can make that whole game work. But that's down the line.
Now, when you say this it's a hobby division, is that what you called it?
Yeah, the strategy
hobby,
yeah.
Division, is that targeting just the hobby market? Is you going to try to get these games as well into target, as you said, that they are carrying more of those?
So they are carrying more, and that would be great. I don't expect Evolution to make that jump. We kind of had to make a design decision early on. How light is it going to be? So the mass market prefers the lighter ones.
Mm-hmm.
Settlers is an anomaly, but King of Tokyo is crossing over. Pandemic, Munchkins does great. Killer Bunny. So those are kind of lighter hobby games.
Pandemic, you call light. That's interesting.
No, I'm sorry.
But I was thinking about that as well, in terms of it's in there.
Pandemic, I don't think, sells as well as King of Tokyo, Munchkins. I haven't actually played Killer Bunny, so I don't know about its lightness. But let's put it this way. The mass market, so the buyers at Target, Barnes & Noble, and Walmart, they say, look, you guys are hobby gamers, and you know how to put out really streamlined games that are accessible. You need to be doing this for us. So people have been asking us for years now to do something really kind of like King of Tokyo-ish, or Zombie Dice.
Well, that was certainly my next question. I mean, if you're in terms of picking a first game to, and you have that business school background to look at the market, and you pick Evolution, I would have thought the first strike at that market, you would have found something zombie or Cthulhu or
right. That's a good point.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I think there was a couple things at play. One, we really wanted a hobby game.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, Zombie Dice, I mean, it's fun and light, but it's not really a strategy game. So I think one of our goals was to gain credibility in the hobby world. Like, let's put out a real game that they're going to love, and it might not be able to cross over into mass, and that's fine, you know. So that was the decision we made. It might not be the right financial decision. I don't know. We'll find out.
Okay, so you said you have been approached by these companies, the retailers, and looking for something like that.
Yeah. Now Satish is on the sales side. They ask, they push him for this stuff all the time.
Okay.
They think that, they say, you know, given our background and what we're experts at, this should be a shoo-in for us. We just haven't put our heads to it yet. Maybe we will.
Well, you get one thing at a time.
Exactly.
So to launch this this new division with this first product, you're going to Kickstarter.
Yes.
And I mean, it's certainly common these days, but I have to ask, of the company well established, having its products sold in Target and Barnes & Noble, Walmart, I think I saw Kohl's recently is
Walmart
carrying.
Walmart just dropped us.
Dropped you?
From 3,000 stores to 680. That's a big drop.
Mm-hmm. We don't have Walmarts nearby here, so I haven't seen that. Sorry to hear that. Why do you need Kickstarter? What is Kickstarter doing for you and in evolution?
So there's several reasons. One is gauging interest and spreading the word. So that's a pretty big thing, because actually we don't have enough experience to have. I have very little idea of how many I should print, and I've gotten diverse answers from different people. So, and a lot of people say don't overprint, because that's what kills a company. You've just got all this product that can't move. So this is one way to help us as we enter into a new market where we really, I mean, when we give our estimates on how many games we're going to sell, we have hugely divergent estimates. Like, we really just have no idea.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a really big thing for us. We're certainly not going to print 50,000 copies like our last print run of Wits and Wagers. But we've had people say, well, no, you never want to print more than 2,000, you know. And we've had people tell us to print 1,000, and we look at that and we're like, ugh, really? How do you make money printing 1,000 games? Like, it's kind of hard for us to put our heads into that mindset. So that's a big thing for us. Another big thing here is a little bit personal for me. I'm really passionate about this project, and I'm worried that if the whole thing flops, I've got to then go to our investors, and they know that I'm a passionate hobby gamer. They know that I was a pro Magic player. They know I've been wanting to do this. I have to go and justify that this was actually a business decision and not just a passion play, because I like it and I was using their money to fund my hobby. So right now, all the money that we get from North Star Games, we reinvest it. Like, none of that's just sitting around in a bank account. We don't earn that much money. So that money is just going right back into the
company. I see all the fancy furniture around here.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so I mean, if you post this audio, yeah, we got folding chairs. This table is my table that I bought for my apartment 15 years ago. We obviously aren't rolling in cash. And all that cash is just getting reinvested as we grow the company. So I like to be able to go to them and say, well, we didn't divert cash away from growing this company. We were able to actually raise money from enthusiastic people that would like us to start a strategy division, and they're showing their support by kickstarting this, and we're using that cash, so we're not actually hurting our core company. You know, and of course, if it's not a flop, then I'm not going to go having to justify it. But if it is, I sleep easier at night. Because also part of me wonders, am I making the right business move or not? You know, we're doing really well with this other side of the company. Should we even be doing this? You know, and I think the answer is yes, but you know, who knows whether I'm being clouded on my decision.
So the Kickstarter helps you really just gauge the market. It's not about the financing of the product.
Well, gauge the market. Well, I mean, it is the financing of this new division for us. I could divert money away from, you know, what I'm calling our party game section division. But then that's going to be growing less. Like, every year we borrow money to print games every year. We never have enough cash to where we don't borrow money to print games by a long shot. I mean, we borrow like $1.5 million every year. So if I take money out to start this other thing, you know, that's increasing the money it's increasing the money we have to borrow over there, which is increasing our cost of capital and, you know, the money we're spending. So, and I don't even know how much, you know, $1.5 million is a lot. We might even be maxed out on a lot of the money we can borrow. So I haven't explored that side of things. So there is a legitimate need for capital. You know, I think in my head maybe it's maybe different from in your head. You just see it as North Star Games, but I see this as a new division to our company. So to me, it's a new venture that is risky, and that I'd rather not be diverting funds away from a company that's already doing well.
Okay.
I don't know. Does that make any sense, or is that?
Yeah.
No. Okay. That's how it feels to me.
What other projects do you have going at North Star Games? You said you have some games in mind for the strategy division, but there are other things. I had heard a while ago that at one point you were working on a television game show. Is that?
Yeah, that's still in the works. I should email someone about that. The last I heard, there is a very established production company that wants to option the rights. They've wanted to for a long time. Actually, there's two, but we were renegotiating with one, and, you know, lawyers are fighting and fighting and fighting. And the last I heard, they said, "Oh, I think we've come to an agreement." But that was a week ago, and I haven't heard anything about it. That's just the first step in a long, long road. Then they have to. I won't go into it. They got to sell it to distribution. So that's one thing. We're starting a digital division.
Okay.
And I also want to keep the finances separate from this digital division as the card part division. That we're going to actually raise money for. So we're going back to the market, and we're going to try to raise, $1.5 to $2 million for the digital side. So that's another initiative. And then on the, you know, what our core side, we're going to put out travel versions of all of the Three Wits and Wagers and the Two Say Anything. And those are just basically the questions. So if anyone doesn't want to have to buy the whole Wits and Wagers party but wants the questions, they can just get the questions now. We've got a list of things because we always have our hands in a million different projects. I can't remember what the hell are right now because I've been not sleeping well and spending so much time working on Evolution that everything else kind of just got dropped.
So on a bit of a more personal approach, how many games do you have personally at home?
In my closet? I try to keep it down. I'd like it to be 50 or 60. I think it's probably at 150 right now. And I've actively... Actually, I haven't sold them. I've just given rid of them, given them away. I'd say 200 games.
So you're not one of these big collectors that you play the games that you enjoy?
You know, I can go out with my gaming groups and play all these other games. I try to keep the games in my closet. The games that just get played enough to justify me having it. And if it looks like I'm going to play it once a year, then I think, why don't I get it into the hands of someone who's going to actually be playing it? And if I really want to play it, I'll try to borrow it, or I'll play it when I'm out with friends.
Well, I know you're playing a lot of Evolution and testing these days, but besides that, what's your favorite game to play these days?
I think all I've been playing is Evolution. I have no other game that I've played consistently. So at the Gathering, I played a few new games. What game do I play consistently? None. Evolution. I mean, I've played Evolutions hundreds and hundreds of times now over the last 4 months, 5 months. That's it. My whole head is just on Evolution.
Okay.
I'm sorry. It's actually true. I'm not. I mean, it's just. I'd have to go back 6 months to try to think of a game that I played. I guess Escape, I'm looking here in the office. We played a fair amount of Escape like 6 months ago. Seven Wonders is a game that I...
What I heard from people that that if you get into the game business, you stop playing games because you're too busy working on them.
Busy. That is very, very true. But, yeah, so, I mean, so we try to have a game day once a month where we play other people's games. But I'd say recently that just got hijacked from Evolution. And then with Evolution, when we were in the game design phase, every day we were playing Evolution every single day, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And me multiple times a day with multiple groups. So yeah, it just took over.
Okay, well, I have one last question. You're playing a game, you roll the dice, one of them falls on the floor. Do you re-roll the one die or all of them?
Just the one.
Just the one.
Yeah, but you first go to the fridge and you get some ice cream and you eat some ice cream and then you roll the one die.
Okay.
Why would you roll them all?
I don't know. It seems to be a big controversy.
Is it? Wow, I didn't even know it was a controversy.
Okay, well, thank you very much. Thank you for answering the questions.
Okay, cool. Thanks a lot.